Hey, what's up, guys? It's your favorite dead duo. And today's Rewind is not dead.
Because today we are talking about the unsolved murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
This is going to be a rough episode because we are talking about the death of a very young girl. But it is a very interesting true crime case, especially because it remains unsolved.
It does remain unsolved, and there have been so many theories that go along with this case, which makes it highly debated and very controversial.
That it is. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing the Ramsey family, the death of JonBenet, and the theories surrounding what happened to her and who may have committed this awful murder. We just wanted to let you know that the episode may contain some sad and graphic information because it is a true crime case. But this is your warning before we formally start the episode.
That's a great point. We are just looking out for you all, and with that being said, we hope you guys stick around because this is a very interesting episode and that has so many theories, which I am very excited to get into.
I love the theories, and let me tell you, I'm very passionate about one, so when we get to them, it should be very interesting. If you guys want more information on the JonBenet case, I suggest documentaries. You can find them on Netflix, Hulu. I also suggest watching some interviews from the family, either from the 1990s or recently, as well as the true crime episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved. We talk about Ryan and Shane enough that you guys should know who that is. These are all great ways to get more information on this case if you're super interested. And before we get started, we just wanted to tell you all that we have a website. You guys should go visit us at thedeadrewindpodcast.weebly.com. That's at thedeadrewindpodcast.weebly.com. Or you can just follow us on Instagram at thedeadrewindpodcast. We post weekly updates there, and we would love to hear from you guys on either platform.
We also have a new way to interact with you guys. Once you are done listening to our episode, head over to Spotify if you're not already there and answer the question found at the bottom of the episode description. We would love to hear from you guys, and you may even get a shout out on the podcast. And with that being said, we will be right back. We are back, and let's get into this true crime episode.
Now, this may be a long episode, so I suggest you get comfortable, maybe grab a snack, some water, do what you've got to do. Okay, let's do this. JonBenet Ramsey was born on August 6, 1990, in Atlanta, Georgia. She's the youngest of two children born to Patricia Ramsey and John Ramsey. Her older brother's name is Burke, and he is 3 years older than her. JonBenet's mom, who went by Patsy, was a pageant queen, winning Miss West Virginia in 1977. Patsy and John Ramsey had an affair when, you know, Patsy was very young, and they were married in 1980. I mean, the drama has already begun, and we're only at John and Patsy's wedding. So, if that tells you what kind of episode this is going to be, there you go. John Ramsey was a successful and very rich businessman who was previously married and had two children within that marriage. So, JonBenet and Burke technically have two older half-siblings. He divorced his wife and married Patsy. And after they married, John and Patsy had Burke in 1987 and JonBenet in 1990. In 1991, the family moved to Boulder, Colorado in order to be closer to the headquarters of John's job.
JonBenet was a young girl who was described as outgoing, smart, kind, and funny, but she also loved to be the center of attention. From a young age, JonBenet was entered into pageants by her mother, Patsy, who was hoping to pass down her pageant gene to her young daughter. JonBenet was a natural. With curly blonde hair and a posed smile, JonBenet fit in perfectly in the pageant community. She won many awards such as America's Royal Miss, Little Miss Charlevoix, Little Miss Colorado, Colorado State All-Star Kids Cover Girl, and National Tiny Miss Beauty.
That's so many.
Although she was very successful within the pageant arena, many people thought the atmosphere was toxic for a young girl. JonBenet wore outfits that were considered inappropriate for her age. Plus, she became a perfectionist and thought she should be the only one her family should pay attention to. JonBenet's attitude was very similar to her mom's. Patsy was known to be a pageant mom. She was obnoxious while JonBenet was on stage. She would demand special treatment for her daughter, and she put an immense amount of pressure onto her daughter to succeed.
I think this just gives them a nice summary of who the Ramseys are before we get into the good stuff. It makes sense. It does make sense.
The mom's name?
Patsy? Oh. Okay, yeah, I understand now. Oh my gosh, I'm a little slow today. No, I think that's a good way to sum up the Ramsey family. Patsy family.
Yeah.
The Ramsey family. So now let's get into it, shall we?
Sure.
All right. The Ramsey's favorite time of year was Christmas. I mean, who doesn't love Christmas, right?
Right.
Patsy loved decorating her house with elaborate decor inside and out. John enjoyed time off from work, and the two Ramsey children, they were out of school. So, you know, perfect time for the whole family to be together. Mm-hmm. The family often went on vacation during Christmas break, and in 1996, the family was planning on going to their Michigan vacation home in Charlevoix. Then they would fly back to Boulder, Colorado. This is all in their private jet, let me remind you. I'm not joking. And then they were going to go on a Disney cruise after Christmas. So on December 25th, 1996, the Ramsey family came back home from celebrating Christmas at a friend's house. The family was exhausted, as you are, mm-hmm. after socializing, and had to get up early to leave for Michigan, so they headed to bed once they arrived home. Patsy was the first to wake on December 26th, then she got up and got ready. She did her makeup, got dressed, was ready to get the kids around. She did all of this before heading downstairs to start preparing for the family's departure. On the way down the very elaborate spiral staircase in the Ramsey home, Patsy noticed three pieces of paper lying on one of the steps, close to the bottom of the stairwell. As she read it, she realized it was a ransom note saying that the writer has the Ramsey's daughter, JonBenet. Let me read you what this letter says. The letter reads, "Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She's safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attaché to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence a earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if there are any found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the fat cat, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow a brain, John. You're not the only fat cat around, so don't think that the killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good southern common sense of yours. It is up to you now, John. Victory. Signed, SBTC." That was a very elaborate ransom note. Patsy immediately went to check on her daughter, and she found an empty bed. Patsy ran to her husband to alert him about her findings, and she called 911, claiming her daughter had been kidnapped. Okay, now bear with me. This can get a little confusing. This call, I think Ashton and I can agree, we've both listened to it, is very interesting. Okay. The original call is very staticky and hard to hear because it is the 1990s and we have better technology now, so it's been enhanced in order to hear what Patsy is saying. Patsy hangs up after telling the operator what happened, but what we find is when she hangs up, she doesn't actually hang up, and the operator says she heard two additional voices in the call on the Ramsey end, which is interesting because Patsy was the only one making the call. The operator says she heard a man say, "We are not speaking to you." And then Patsy says either, "Help me, Jesus," or, "What did you do?" Mm-hmm. Now, when I listen to it, I hear her say, "Help me, Jesus," and, "What did you do?" Like, "Oh my God, help me, Jesus, what did you do?" Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think about that. You've only listened to it like once or twice.
Yeah.
So, but then there's a child's voice saying, "Well, what did you find?" The odd thing is, the Ramsey said Burke was asleep at this time. And JonBenet, we know, is dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do. And I know.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. The operator said Patsy went from very hysterical to very calm when Patsy supposedly hung up the phone. Mm-hmm. That sounds super fake to me, but I'm going to keep my opinions to myself. Whatever happened on that call, we do know that the family then waited anxiously for the police to arrive.
Yeah. As the Ramseys waited for the police, they called over their friends so they could help look for JonBenet. The police arrived and did a quick search of the house, and they didn't find anything. I mean, of course they wouldn't. They did a quick sweep of the house.
If it's not very detailed, you're not going to find anything.
Right. Anyways, once detectives started to arrive, they began a thorough search of the home. John Ramsey and his friends suggested they do a top-down search. The police party started upstairs while John and his friends searched the basement. While the party found nothing upstairs, the duo in the basement made the discovery that everyone was dreading.
When John Ramsey entered the basement, he immediately went to the area of the basement by the wine cellar door. So this was towards the back corner of the basement. He chose to open this door, which the responding police officer earlier in the morning, he did not choose to open the door when he did a quick sweep. Mm-hmm. And when John opened the door, he yelled, "Oh my God, it's JonBenet." This is interesting because the room had no windows and the light was not on. And when there, if you did turn the light on, it was very dim and the light switch was down by your waist, like very low. It's very weird. And John did say he did not turn the light on. So when that cellar door opens, it's going to open towards you, which means that door needs to be all the way open for any light to get into this room because there's no windows in there for any natural light, and you can't turn the light on when the door is closed.
Right.
So how was, with this door partially open, like it was when they went down there for evidence for taking photos, how was he able to tell this white blanket on the floor was JonBenet? Just a little thought for you guys to sit with. Anyways, he entered the room to find his daughter wrapped in a white blanket. John removed the blanket to find JonBenet's mouth was taped shut, which he did rip off. She also had a nylon cord with a broken paintbrush attached to it, which was wrapped around her neck like a garrote. So what you would do with this garrote is you would twist this paintbrush and the nylon cord would tighten around her neck and suffocate her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also there. John tried, her wrists were also tied and he loosened at least one wrist. Don't know why, but he did. JonBenet also had a fractured skull from a traumatic blow to the head. And there was a small mark on her neck that was said to be from a stun gun. And then if you want to talk about the autopsy, they also did find undigested pineapple in her stomach, which means she had to have eaten this pineapple right before she died. But we'll get to that later.
John picked up his daughter and brought her upstairs where everybody was located. He laid her down, basically under the Christmas tree.
Oh my God!
One of the investigators did not like JonBenet there, so she moved JonBenet. Then they thought, oh, we don't want to upset Patsy, so they moved the girl again. That day was very chaotic for everybody, but the investigation began the very next day. The Ramseys did a lot of TV interviews, gave many DNA samples, and they were never actually named suspects. Every member of the family, mostly Burke, was questioned, but not too much was found. Many detectives quit over the years, and the case has some theories, which will be up next. Patsy Ramsey died in 2006 from ovarian cancer. Not much is known of John Ramsey, but Burke Ramsey broke his silence in 2016. Which is a very interesting interview, and the whole case is just very chaotic.
It is very chaotic.
Chaotic.
Because just because there was so much happening that one morning,
mm-hmm.
and then they found her, and then it was just a media frenzy. Which was interesting because, like, you know, John Ramsey's this powerful guy, but yeah. It's not like he's a celebrity.
No.
So why did this become such a huge thing?
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in the theories. I just wanted to point out some weird things that happened during that day, during the overall investigation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is we can start with the ransom note. In the ransom note, there are some misspelled words, which if you're an intruder,
right,
and you have this ransom note, you were obviously writing very quickly. You want to get this job done. Doesn't matter where you wrote this note, but it's going to be quick, apparently. and it's going to be concise, which this letter is not. It's 2.5 pages long. So unnecessary.
And they really sat down and...
But they misspelled words like business. They spelt it with two S's, like B-U-S-S. But then they correctly spelled the word attaché with the correct mark above it. An attaché is like a suitcase, like a briefcase. Mm-hmm. So why would you misspell the word business, which is a very easy word that most elementary school kids know how to spell.
Right.
But you know how to correctly spell attaché. Just a little something to get your mind working here. Yeah. We're just warming you guys up for the theories. Actually, I'm going to stop there. Let's just give our thoughts on this case first before I get too into the... Because this will play into the theories, and I think that'll be a better conversation.
Hold on, give me a second. Okay.
Thoughts on the case. Here we... Get comfortable.
I just did.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's a very eerie, interesting case that kind of...
It's snowing. Sorry.
Kind of just... Those are some big snowflakes. Sorry, I'm really... It's kind of interesting in the way that it... Nowadays, it all, like, kind of... It's kind of a theory, but it all kind of looks like a big cover-up if you really pay attention to the case.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, back then, it was such a rush that nobody knew what was probably going on. I don't know. I wasn't alive in the 90s.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it just... I don't know. There's a lot about JonBenet that seems like she's not a troublemaker, but like
she's the center of attention.
Get herself in trouble with other people.
Yeah, because she wants the attention and she doesn't like when other people get the attention.
Yeah.
I mean, as the youngest sibling and a sibling that's very successful, I would also want to be the center of attention. It is snowing. I would also want to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
And I think also being in the pageant world, she was getting that attention when she was on stage and being judged and winning these awards. I mean, I don't want to blame the dead girl because that's really sad. But her attitude could have played into it a little bit.
Yeah, it also could have gotten the family in trouble. Like, you don't like
with somebody else. Yeah,
you don't like one person, you don't like the family. You based on what the family's done to raise her.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that after, it's been 25 years, basically, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that. 25 years?
96, 25.
25 years.
December 25th, 24, it's going to be 25 here in a few days.
25 years. And there's still nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll talk about it, but there have been people that have come forward saying, oh, I did it. But, like, the police were like, bro, no, you didn't. Here's all of the evidence.
It's media attention.
We're going to take your blood sample, we're going to compare it to the ones we have, and the DNA found at the scene. Obviously, it's not you.
No.
And it's for attention. It's for... part of me is like, they want the attention, but also maybe they're being nice, and they're like, let's bring some closure to the world. But it just kind of backfires.
Maybe they were involved, but didn't actually kill that person.
True.
Killed JonBenet.
JonBenet. And this, we did not talk about this, but I think to find it interesting, her name, JonBenet, is a combination of her dad's name, because it's John Bennett Ramsey.
JonBenet Ramsey.
So, JonBenet Ramsey, and her middle name is Patricia, which, that's her mom's first name. JonBenet Patricia Ramsey. That is a mouthful. Why are you making that face? JonBenet Patricia Ramsey. That's a long name. But I feel like this family...
Sorry, continue. I'm just keep taking glances out the window and it gets harder and harder every time.
I just feel like this family set this girl up to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
They were like, here, use our names.
Right.
Here, be in the pageant world. Like, from a young age, this girl was a baby and was walking on stage.
Right.
You see, you watch, shows like Toddlers and Tiaras. I used to love that show. And they have, two or three looks.
Right.
This girl had 100, I swear. Every time I see a picture of her in a pageant, it's a different outfit.
She wants all the looks.
Because they spoiled her. And that's fine. But don't be surprised when your child...
is a little troubled.
Is this, wants to be the center of attention. Anyways. Okay. Those were good thoughts. That was a good conversation.
Sure.
We're not going to get into the theories exactly, but we're going to get your mind warmed up. Thinking about maybe the things that don't quite make this case normal. A normal unsolved case. You know, most normal unsolved cases because you couldn't find DNA
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Here, so we already told you about the misspelled ransom note words. Almost like those were purposefully misspelled.
I could see that.
Because who misspells business but correctly spells and punctuates attaché?
Maybe they just didn't think about it. You know, when you're in such a rush that you have time to write 3 pages, that's...
No.
You might run out of time to spell business correctly.
No, literally. Anyways, the other thing about the ransom note is that the papers were taken from Patsy's notepad from in the house. They did samples on this. I don't know how they figured this out, like how you
mm-hmm.
test for that, mm-hmm. but it is the same paper from that notepad.
Hmm. So they were...
from in the house.
Sitting at the dining table writing this.
Yeah, they were at the kitchen counter and they're like, "Dear Mr. Ramsey, listen very carefully." So, I mean, if I was an intruder writing it in the house, yeah, I'd be misspelling words, but I would not be writing 2.5 pages, and that's why that's suspicious.
I'd be misspelling words, but writing a short note.
Most ransom notes, according to the FBI and police, are 60 words or less.
See, they just...
this was a whole novel.
In chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 in this...
literally. So it's just interesting that the paper came from inside the house. What's even better is that the pen used was from inside the house.
Yeah, so they were just in the house.
Because the pen was not in the same spot it was when Patsy left it. Now, if I was an I don't remember. Maybe it was in the same spot. This somehow falls back on the Ramseys, guys. I don't mean to give you false information here. But if I was an intruder, I would not be putting the pen back where I found it, because you don't know that. And that's why the pen was actually found in the same spot it was left.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you were in a rush writing this ransom note, getting ready to kidnap this young girl,
uh-huh.
you're going to be like, "I'm going to make sure I put the pencil back right where I found it." Nah, I'm leaving it on the counter and going to get her and leaving.
I'm tossing that boy.
And again, very interesting. Why would you write this letter? Put all this time and effort into it to leave the girl in the basement.
Y'all didn't even kidnap her.
Like, almost, you were like, "I gotta buy myself some time before they find the body." But why are you not just taking the body with you?
Right, just throw it in a bag and take it with you. That sounds awful.
Why would you spend And then they timed people when they did these handwriting samples, because they did do handwriting samples, and it took 20 minutes. And now part of that is because you had to read it, write it down.
Right.
So just take the reading out of it. So about 10 minutes it would take to write this ransom note.
It's a lot of time to not wake anybody up.
To not wake anybody up. And you would think this young girl would scream if she was just woken up.
You think?
And nobody heard a scream. It's interesting. There was... oh, we'll keep going with the ransom note. When they did the handwriting samples, they took pages from the same notepad that Patsy Ramsey's notepad.
Yeah.
Personalized and everything. It had her name, you know. They found a paper in the notepad when they were ripping pages out to give to people that said Mr. and Mrs. Ramsey, but was crossed out. Like, there was a line through it.
Ooh.
And if you remember to me reading the ransom note, the final ransom note said Mr. Ramsey.
Listen carefully.
Now, if I was an intruder, I wouldn't care who I'm addressing this to.
To the Ramseys.
To the Ramseys. Now, and Mr. and Mrs. Ramsey is fine, but why would you feel the need to cross it out? And, like, here's a draft. I don't like this one. Right. RIP!
Were we drafting?
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's a little suspicious to me.
Rough draft. She had to take it to the teacher and see if it was like, acceptable.
No. When they did handwriting samples, out of all the handwriting samples, the one that was closest to, and like, eerily close to the ransom note was Patsy Ramsey. Girl, what you doing? Like, why are you writing these notes? Anyways.
She was writing in her sleep.
She was writing in her
and
sleep.
And it just happened that JonBenet died.
The same night. And was...
Coincidence.
Quote, kidnapped.
She was.
And left in the basement. Because that's where I take my hostages. To their own basement.
They took her to the car. She was being Judy Attitude-y, and they said, we don't want her, so they just...
They killed her and took her to her basement.
Shoved her in the cellar.
Oh my gosh. And the final thing with the ransom note that's interesting is they asked for $118,000, which to us as teenagers...
That's a nice amount.
That's a lot of money. But let's not forget, John Ramsey is a multi-millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not ask for millions? Mm-hmm. Like, he had assets at this time worth $7.2 million.
Then I'd be asking for $7.2 million.
And, like, just John Ramsey, he was worth, like, $6 million. So, $118,000 is an interesting number. And that's because it's small, but also because it's basically the amount of John's bonus that year.
I want my bonus. I want a bonus of $118,000.
No, literally, but that's not the point. The point is... First of all, who would know that? If you were an intruder, unless you worked with John Ramsey or were a friend of the Ramseys, how would you know that, one, he made a bonus of $118,000, and two, why wouldn't you ask for more? Did you make it on the fan? Why wouldn't you ask for more?
I'd be asking for at least a million.
That's just...
$1 million.
It's suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. All right. Moving on from the ransom note. There was no signs of forced entry into the house. Now, they didn't find any, like, it was snowing. It's Colorado in the wintertime. There were no shoe prints in the snow. There was no signs of breaking down, like, breaking open a door. Now, there is a window in the basement. A small window.
Mm-hmm.
That was broken.
Right.
I've seen pictures. You've seen pictures.
Right.
First of all, it's not a clean break. It's like, it's jagged. It would hurt to climb through.
Yeah.
But John Ramsey did say he had to break open that window like a year before because he locked his keys in the house.
And he couldn't
get in.
It fixed? You're a multi-million man and you couldn't get a window fixed?
Right. And so that kind of helps the intruder theory, but I'm like, no one in their right mind would be climbing through that window, or out. No, thank you.
If anything, a broken window would help me kick the window in easier, to make it easier to get in, but it wasn't kicked in or anything.
Mm-mm. There was, like, no other sign of forced entry, which means the intruder had to have been in the house when the Ramseys got home.
It's possible.
And now, this is a huge house. It's 7,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's giant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like a maze. So you'd have to move quickly in order to get her from the top floor to the basement.
Maybe they were in the house when they were out.
Yeah.
And that's where they had the time to write the ransom note.
Then where were they that whole time? They were just chilling?
Yes, they were making...
They were chilling in the wine cellar.
They were making food, chilling in the wine cellar, and...
But like... Wouldn't you think things would be... There would be some sort of evidence of forced entry?
A little bit.
Unless they didn't lock their doors, but I feel like a rich family like this who has a gate... Well, they... After they sold the house, they built a gate around the house because people were trying to break in. You know, obviously. It's the JonBenet Ramsey house.
Obviously.
But, like, I assume as a rich family, they would lock their door.
Right.
Now, I don't know what kind of technology they had, but I'm assuming they would also maybe have some sort of security system.
You would think.
But maybe that's just...
It's also possible that they did.
Also true.
Maybe they were in the garage.
They were just chilling in the garage.
Maybe there was a car in the garage and they were in the trunk the whole time. And
the
they just
whole time. Kind
of popped out when
they were like, yoo-hoo, make some of it all out. Okay. The next one is that the Ramses on the day of the murder were never questioned separately, which is not normal behavior at an investigation. Like, most times the police will pull the families aside to make sure they have the same story.
Right.
Because if they don't, that's where it's suspicious.
One of them's suspicious, yeah.
So, but that never happened because the Ramses politely declined. I didn't know saying no to the police was a thing.
I guess not. I guess it is a thing.
And on that note, John Ramsey was also, he was nowhere to be seen for 2 hours. Like, he was unaccounted for. Where was that man?
You couldn't search that whole house in 2 hours? And
what was he doing? Like, he just left? Or, like, was he still in the house?
What was he doing? Was he, like...
moving JonBenet? I don't know.
Maybe he was chilling, watching some TV.
Maybe he was. In their interviews, the Ramseys, as I would too if I was innocent, they pushed the blame away from themselves. But they said interesting things like, how could we ever do this? Like, they were still talking about themselves.
Right.
But, like, it was like, how could we do this? I don't think we could do this. We right. would never.
Right.
They really liked to point fingers. They also said, you know, like, how could we do this? That's our daughter, you know. Just... right. Very weird, but never, like, mentioned her. There was very few times they were like, we miss JonBenet, our daughter JonBenet. It was always, are you putting your retainer in? It was always our daughter, like, very distant. Mm-hmm. And even in the 911 call, Patsy's like, I'm the mother. But, like, not, you know, my daughter JonBenet. It was very distant.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was that's very obvious is there was so much contamination. Let's pick JonBenet up and move her. Five different people moving her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's have John rip the tape off so now his fingerprints, whether he did this or not, are on the duct tape.
But that's also, like, that's a reaction everybody would have, though.
Yeah. So maybe... I do not blame him
at
all for doing that. But there's just a lot of contamination happening.
Right.
When Patsy was waiting around for the police to arrive... her and her friends were wiping down counters and tidying up.
I think I would be helping.
I'm sorry. And again, maybe that's just, you know, busy work. But you don't do that. And anyone with...
half a brain
common shot. Sense, whether you're in this very chaotic situation or not, would know you don't wipe down the counter.
Mm-mm.
And possibly wipe away evidence that would eliminate you from being a suspect.
Right.
I don't know. It's very interesting. Thoughts on any of the weird, suspicious things that are happening before we close out the segment?
I don't think so.
It's weird. And it's only going to get better because we're going to get into the good stuff and talk about the theories and who people think did this.
Okay.
To little JonBenet, the pageant queen.
JonBenet.
We will be right back. And we are back. Now we are going to talk about the most entertaining part of the episode, I feel like. Theories. Who doesn't love a good theory, right?
Right.
And because this case remains unsolved...
there's a lot of theories.
There's a lot of theories. Here, do you want your little bottle of barbecue sauce?
There's my bottle of barbecue sauce. Okay. My Stubbs.
So, I think we should just... Stubbs barbecue sauce.
My Stubbs.
Stubs for stubby people.
She wants some of my stubs.
Stubs. What would Stubs' slogan be?
Stubs. Super tasty, unbelievable barbecue.
That's literally what it is. That's what Stubs is. Super tasty, unbelievable barbecue.
Are you joking?
Stubs.
Yeah, that's... just continue. We spent a whole minute on Stubbs barbecue sauce.
Stubbs.
Please sponsor us.
Stubbs, is Stubbs a real thing?
Dude, this is a real company, yes.
Stubbs, sponsor us. We love your barbecue sauce. Have you ever had Stubbs?
Yes.
When?
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, back to the theories.
You don't ask. If you want sponsors, you don't ask.
I wanna get into like the boring theories first that I don't like. Okay. First boring theory. Like, see, these first couple are so good.
I'm going to try and debunk these theories. That's my job here.
Oh, that's what you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay, here's some weird theories.
Okay.
Here's the first weird theory. Debunk this for me.
Okay, let's see if I can do it.
JonBenet Ramsey is not actually dead. She's actually Katy Perry.
Now, big dog. Big dog, wait a second. What year was Katy Perry born?
Let me look for you. Katy Perry was born in 1984.
All right, get out of here. Wrong.
Okay.
She's not even born in the same year.
No,
but... They saw her dead. I mean, they saw her dead.
Okay.
They carried her lifeless body.
All right. I don't believe that either.
There's autopsy reports. She's dead.
Weird theory. Second weird theory. The killer was Santa Claus. Specifically, a Santa Claus impersonator named Bill McReynolds. Two nights before JonBenet was killed, McReynolds was at the Ramsey house dressed as Santa. He reportedly gave JonBenet a card that said, "You'll receive a very special gift after Christmas." The vagueness of this message in the card has led some to believe that he was behind the murder. He has claimed his innocence and died in 2002.
See, I mean, it could be valid, but it just...
It's still a stretch.
It's a stretch. It's
because it goes back to the intruder.
Yeah, I think we've almost proved that there was not an outside intruder.
Because Billy Boy would have had to come back to the house and get in.
Right. And if he was a Santa Claus, I'm sure he's probably a larger man.
He most likely was a larger man.
And
I'm sure they're probably like, "What's larger?"
Big. I'm pretty sure they would have at least seen him doing something.
Okay.
I don't like the way he said you'll receive a very special gift. That's a little...
Okay, the other theory is just, in general, an intruder. Now, there have been a couple of people. John Mark Carr had been arrested on multiple charges, including child pornography, and claimed that he was in the Ramsey house the night of the murder and saw JonBenet die, but wasn't the one that actually murdered her.
Okay, but what's he doing in the house? What were his intentions of being in the house?
This is a quote from John himself. "Nobody wanted that little girl to die that night. Nobody. Her death was an accident. I was with her when she died, but I was not the person who caused it."
I don't know, man. That's a little...
They took samples from him and everything, and none of them matched. None of... His scene was matched to anything at the scene, which is super contradictory to his story. Because, like, that means he still would have had to have been there and they would have found his DNA, but they did not.
I don't know. It's a little weird. What was he doing in his house? At their house?
I don't know.
I feel like you would know if someone had multiple accounts of child pornography, and why would you let them in your home when you have two children?
Exactly. The other one is that, with the intruder, a man named Michael Vail tipped off somebody about his high school friend named Gary Silva, who was a pedophile, and apparently had a strong connection to the case. Calling him days after the murder, this Gary guy called
Gary called Michael.
Days after the 1996 murder, confessing that he hurt a little girl.
I could see that. The intruder alert, I'm not going to put away. I still think there's a possibility that there was an intruder. Especially his story, that sounds a little suspicious.
Okay.
Now, the first guy, I don't think he had anything to do with this.
I don't either. But you're saying sex offender was...
Yes.
More of a likely...
Yes.
Okay. I had to take a drink of water. All right.
Quick swim.
Now, let's get into the good stuff now that we've gotten past Santa Claus, Katy Perry, and the intruder. Because...
I know the Katy Perry one's pretty valid.
It is. It's really good. But, like, I'm going to go back to the intruder for a second. They had to have been in the house.
Yeah.
If there was an intruder, they were already in the house when the Ramseys got home. That's my thoughts.
I know, but also it says that they were out, so I think they maybe they gotten in.
Yeah,
somehow they were, when they were gone.
Yeah, because they were at a friend's house for Christmas and right. came back that night. And so I'm saying during that day when they were gone, somebody was in the house. So they had to have been in the house when the Ramses got home that night.
Right.
But there's no sign of entry whatsoever. Forced or anything like that. There was no tracks outside. They found a shoe print on the inside, but they said what that could have been from police officers and it matched police boots.
Okay. I don't know. I don't personally believe in the intruder theory, but I still think it could be a valid theory for...
Okay. All right. Now we're going to get into the juicy stuff. There's two theories. Both, I think, are very valid. One more than the other.
Okay.
I think we should establish right now, we both believe this was an accident.
Yes.
I don't think whoever did this to her did this on purpose.
No.
There's just no way.
No.
And, I mean, we can talk why once we reveal the theories.
Right.
The first theory, and probably the most common back in the 90s, was that JonBenet's parents killed her. Specifically Patsy.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to read you the theories and you're gonna...
Yeah.
Okay. So Patsy...
You got that stupid...
I'm sorry, my group chat is blowing up. Maddie and Lillian. What?
Nothing.
I love them. Anyways. So, Patsy. JonBenet was only 6 when she died.
Mm-hmm.
As 6, you're still, you know, learning, you're still being potty trained, most likely already there. But she had a history of bedwetting. Like, that was a big thing.
Right.
One of JonBenet's problems, you know, she was this really beautiful, successful girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she wet the bed. I said that super unenthusiastically and really mean, kind of. Anyways. And so there had been times where Patsy would get mad at JonBenet for wetting the bed. Like, you're 6, come on. You know, stop doing that.
It's her fault.
And now bedwetting can be a sign of abuse. Sexual abuse, physical abuse.
Right.
Just how your body reacts. Now, the thing was that Burke did say in an interview once that Patsy and John, neither one of them had a history of hitting their children, like spanking their children, really being aggressive, yelling at their children. Mm-hmm. So he thought that, you know, his parents killing JonBenet was not a thing. But the thought is that the night they got home, mm-hmm. JonBenet wet the bed that night, and Patsy was so stressed out with Christmas and having to leave early the next morning to come back in a couple days to leave again. Right. She had all these things going on that she just got so angry at JonBenet and hit her over the head with something.
Because
mm-hmm. they think the main cause of death for JonBenet Ramsey was that...
With the blow to
the trauma to the head.
Uh-huh.
The skull fracture. So people think that Patsy, so stressed out and outraged that JonBenet again wet the bed, hit her. Out of rage. And then they thought, you know, this is a cover-up.
Right.
Like, who wants to admit to killing their own daughter because their daughter wet the bed?
No.
No one. So Patsy wrote the note. She put on the show for the 911 call and for her friends.
Right.
Claimed innocence.
Right.
To get people out of there, but there was just all those weird things with the ransom note matching her and the weird phone call where she went from very hysterical to very calm.
Right.
That made people a little suspicious. Now, I do want to say before you talk about the theory, if you guys want to access certain, I should have talked about this in the intro, but I listened to a podcast. It's called True Crime and Cocktails. It's very funny, very informative. They have a website where they do files, digital files for each of their cases that they talk about on their podcast. JonBenet Ramsey was one of them. And so they have a file with so many things on here. Let me tell you what they have. They have autopsy documents, books and documentaries. They used photos. They have pictures of the Ramsey house from evidence. They have pictures of the ransom note. They have pictures of the suspects. They have the 911 call regular, like just what they would have picked up the phone in 1996. And then they have two versions of it being enhanced. They have interviews with John and Patsy. They have pictures of JonBenet and Burke. They have pictures of of Patsy Ramsey's writing samples and all of that. So if you really want to listen to the 911 phone call, I would really check out True Crime and Cocktails. They have great versions of the enhanced 911 call. Kay Ashton, Patsy Ramsey, John Ramsey, the parents killed her theory. Hit me.
I like the theory. That's not my theory, but I think it's a very valid theory. I think that the only problem I have with it is if you don't have any history at all of ever abusing your kids physically, verbally, sexually, I don't think hitting them with something, with an object, is at play. Maybe if you hit them with your hand, that's how stressed out. I don't think hitting them with an object is at play.
Like, you'd have to, like, grab the object.
Right, you'd have to be and then hit so them. Upset you grab an object and hit them with it. And I don't think, if you don't have a history of hitting, I don't think that's something you would do.
No, that did just come from Burke.
Right.
And as a child, if you're being abused, you want help, but you don't want to get your parents in trouble.
Right.
So I could see, like, him being like, oh, yeah, our parents don't abuse us.
Right.
But they do. And the other thing is maybe why Patsy did this was because she was jealous of her daughter. Now, this is a stretch. I've heard this one. But this is a bit of a stretch. Because, you know, Patsy, who was successful in pageants, but was not as, throughout her whole life, was not as successful as her six-year-old daughter.
Right. That's a stretch.
So people were thinking she killed her because she was jealous.
That's a stretch.
And now, who kills their child because they're jealous of their child? First of all, that's pathetic.
I don't think I would ever be jealous. I would live that up if my child was like, extremely successful at 6 years old.
No, seriously.
I don't care if I tried to do the same thing and they're more successful than I am at six. I would live that up. This is my daughter, and she is better than yours.
There you go. So you don't think it was because of that, but more likely because JonBenet was a bedwetter.
Right. But I don't like the theory because I think, because we're going based off of what the Ramseys are saying. So we really
that's all we have.
We don't know what went on inside the home. We don't know if they were actually abusive, but if you go based off of they're not abusive, I don't think grabbing an object and hitting your child is something you would do.
Because this blunt force trauma is not from a hand, a punch, nothing like that.
No.
It's from a heavy object. It fractured her skull.
Right.
And as a young child, yeah, your skull is a little more, it's softer because it's still developing and all of that. But you would have had to hit her with something heavy and with enough force to fracture her skull. Right. And it was a large fracture.
Right.
So, you like this last theory that I'm going to talk about way better. I think you and I both do. And I think most people agree with this theory. The last theory is that Burke Ramsey... Oh my gosh. We're just going to let our little clock play out. You guys get to listen to some happy Christmas music.
This is your interlude.
This is very good. This is super embarrassing.
This goes on for a whole minute, by the way.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
When it started, it was 2 o'clock. When it first started, it was 2 o'clock. When it ended, it was 2:01.
This is so bad.
We're not the ones who put the batteries back
in. Yeah, why did they put the batteries back in?
Yo, big dog.
Nighty night.
See, look, it's 3:01.
What?
That woke me up in the middle of the night last night.
That's scary.
It went off at like 2 in the morning.
Now back to our regularly scheduled program. As I was saying, the final and most popular theory is that Burke Ramsey, JonBenet's older brother, killed her.
Boom. That's the one right there.
So we know that Burke was 9 years old at the time JonBenet was murdered. Mm-hmm. And some believe he killed her.
Right.
And again, this is the act. Like, I still think this whole time it was an accident that she died.
Right. I don't think it was purposeful that.
I don't think they were like, I gotta kill this girl.
No.
Like, no, I don't. There's a couple reasons why people think, why they think they would he would have done it and how he did it. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons people think he killed her is because she was so successful and she was always the center of attention. And he got nothing. You know, her pictures were all over the place. Right. She was, you know, her trophies were flaunted. All of that.
Right.
And Burke had nothing. And so out of anger, he hit her and she died.
Right.
Because he was jealous. Mm-hmm. But the more popular one, going back to the autopsy. JonBenet had undigested pineapple in her system. Which means, for it to be undigested, she had to have it basically right before she died. Which, again, not supporting the intruder theory at all.
Mm.
So, when the police arrived and took pictures, they did find a bowl of pineapple sitting on the table, or on the counter, somewhere in the kitchen, dining room area. It was pineapple and milk in a bowl with a giant spoon. Giant spoon. Patsy and John both said when they got home they don't remember making either of the kids a snack. And they would never serve a snack with that big of a spoon. So, the thought is, Burke got the pineapple himself. Made himself a little snack. He was a little hungry. Wanted to have a little snacky snack.
I could see it.
And JonBenet, being, you know, 6 years old, saw this pineapple that her big brother was eating, mm-hmm. and she stole a piece.
Right, she wanted some.
Who doesn't want, you know, a little piece of pineapple? I like pineapple. Now, with milk, that's a little disgusting. But she may have just stuck her little tiny hand in the bowl and taken a piece of pineapple, putting it in her mouth. And out of anger, because she stole his pineapple, Burke chased after her and hit her over the head with a flashlight. That was in the area, in a drawer on the counter, somewhere within the vicinity of Burke and JonBenet.
Right.
Because she stole some pineapple. He hit her over the head.
It's aggressive.
With a flashlight. And that would account for the heavy object that would make such a large fracture.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's weird to me that a lot of people haven't picked up on that I've listened to and watched is JonBenet had marks on her neck, like little, almost like a vampire bit her, like mm-hmm. these two little holes that people thought was from a stun gun. Well, first of all, stun guns are very loud, so you would think family would have, it's like,
it's
super loud.
The crack.
Yeah. So you would have think the family would have heard that if she was stun gunned. Well, in the basement of the house, this is another theory that they were downstairs, the two were downstairs. I don't know, maybe they peacefully shared this bowl of pineapple.
Right.
And then they went downstairs to play. Burke had a giant train set in the basement. Train tracks connected together. Maybe JonBenet was being controlling. Maybe she broke it. Something like that. So he took something to hit her over the head with. Or he first stabbed her with one of the train tracks in the neck. Because the little things that, you know, make sure the tracks stick together mm-hmm. was the exact distance and size of the mark on her neck.
Hmm. Okay.
Almost like he, like, hit her with it. Mm-hmm. And then she maybe ran away, and so he hit her again.
Right.
And to aid in this theory before you give me your opinion, in one of the original interviews with Burke, when he was with like a psychiatrist and stuff like that, the lady asked him, well, how do you think somebody, how do you think somebody would have killed your sister?
Uh-huh.
Very weird question to ask a young child.
Seriously.
Kind of disturbing.
You don't want to ask that
But
question.
He goes, maybe somebody snuck in the house, grabbed a knife or a flashlight, snuck upstairs, and hit her over the head. And he does the exact movement. Like, he does the movement as he says, hits her over the head. Now, that may not seem suspicious to anybody, but to me, that's a little strange.
Right. But it's also, it's a kid.
Yeah.
Some kinds of kids just do weird things.
Yes.
And sometimes they like they'll act out stuff, but they really don't know what it could mean to other people and how other people could take it.
And a lot of times when he would draw, and this would go to the jealousy thing, when he would draw pictures during these interviews, you know, when you're a child and you're going to counseling or you're being interviewed or something questioned, whoever's doing that questioning is going to want to make that child feel as comfortable as possible about opening up.
Yeah.
So they did a lot of coloring and a lot of drawing. Well, when he was asked to draw a picture of his family, it was just him, Patsy, and John. He did not draw JonBenet. So.
It's a bit strange.
Strange.
I believe the brother theory. I believe Bert killed her, and I don't think it was on purpose.
I don't think it was either.
And I personally don't think he got so upset of she took some pineapple that he hit her over the head. I think this was something they were playing with each other. And you know how kids can be a little aggressive sometimes, and they don't mean to be.
Oh, maybe, so you're going with the they were just playing.
Maybe she did, let's say she wanted to readjust the train track. Maybe she took it out, he got semi-upset, and he's like, oh, I'm going to chase you, and he had something over the head, and maybe she tripped or he tripped, and when it came down, it hit her right in the head. And maybe she tripped and got that thing lodged right in there.
Interesting.
Because if you trip with enough force, you can get something.
Oh, yeah.
You can pierce skin.
Yeah.
And I think that she, maybe one of them tripped, or maybe they both tripped, and he just kind of, something just kind of.
So you're going with the fact that it wasn't just because she stole the pineapple.
No.
So you're not going the route where she stole pineapple and he hit her.
No.
You're going more of like.
I think they were playing.
They had a pineapple snack together.
Yes.
Interesting. See, when you say it like that, I would definitely agree with you. And because what kid's just going to hit his sister over the head
with
a really heavy object because she stole a piece of pineapple? Right. Now, I know a lot of times I'll punch you in the arm because you'll steal my food, or I'll yell at you, but I'm not going to hit you over the head with a flashlight and chase after you.
No.
So, and now, part of that's because we are like teenagers and, you know, have matured. He was only 9, she was 6.
You know, but I still think kids develop, oh, this could really hurt. You know, I really think that could. I don't think pineapple was the reason she died.
Interesting. I find it like that stun gun theory. But then when you think about the train tracks and everything and the measurements, mm-hmm. It's almost like, well, how did that play into it? Did that happen? Like, did they do that to her after she died to make it look like mm-hmm. somebody stun gunned her? Or was that kind of like forgotten about because maybe they were playing together?
Right. That's what I think. Because, you know, kids, a lot of times, when they run really fast and they think they're being funny and they're all distracted, they'll fall.
Yeah, or, you know, when, you know, we have younger siblings, they chase after us and you hit each other with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not very hard. But no. The other thing is maybe Burke went to hit her and hit her a little too hard.
Right. You can hit too hard and not mean to hit too hard.
Of course.
The other thing that could happen is, like, still on the, she could have, like, you know how sometimes you think you're building stuff? We used to play with Legos a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You would build stuff, and your sibling or something would come over and think they're funny and, like, take a really needed piece off of it and kind of run with it. They could have been running. He could have been chasing her with something. And they both could have tripped. And when she fell, it went right into her.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just weird to think about it because it's like, I think we can understand how the pineapple got in her system. Because there was no pineapple at the party they went to, and it would have been digested by then. Oh, so yeah. She had to have had the pineapple at home.
Right.
But, you know, Patsy and John are like, we did not give either one of them pineapple. I don't know how the bowl of pineapple ended up on the table, even though Patsy's fingerprints were on it.
Right.
Along with Burke's. But I could see, like, you know, the kids, like, snuck downstairs and were like, I'm going to get a snack. You want a snack? You know? Like siblings do.
Or like. Can I have, like, maybe they'll ask, can I have something? You're like, no, fine, I'll go tell mom. And they're like, sure, you need to come over here.
Come eat a piece. Because it wasn't, like, a substantial amount of pineapple they found in her system. Like, she had her own bowl.
Right.
It was a couple pieces of pineapple.
And the big spoon suggests
kids that Burke, at work. Yeah. Kids at work. Somebody got this bowl of pineapple. Not parents,
always,
but.
If you're a kid, you always go for the bigger things.
You go for the big spoon.
Like, we were at daycare, big fork.
Big fork, big spoon. And, you know, the Ramses, very cordial, very proper and formal. They would never serve a giant serving spoon to eat some pineapple with.
No.
You would just get a regular spoon or fork.
And pineapple milk, that seems like kid concoction.
No, seriously. They always they didn't put, like, ketchup or something in it.
It's kid concoction right there.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you're kind of not with the majority of people who are like, she stole the piece of pineapple and he hit her.
No.
Because even to me, that's like, who hits somebody because they stole a piece of pineapple? And maybe that's just the pent-up anger he has towards her.
Right. And frankly, I don't think it was even anger that he killed her. I think they were running around, they were playing, and I think maybe one of them tripped.
Well, maybe he was angry.
Maybe he was angry. I don't know.
Because who hits somebody with a huge, heavy...
But I'm also thinking he didn't just hit her on purpose. I'm thinking...
No, I know, but with a heavy object?
Yeah, you always run around and think, oh, I'm going to hit you. And you never...
Yeah, that's the thing.
You never want to hit
maybe,
them.
But maybe he was going to hit her, you know, just like...
Just a little, but a little play tap.
Yeah, not aggressively, but like, haha, I hit you, you know, knock her down.
Yeah.
But not kill her.
Right. And I think Patsy covered it up. I think
they both did.
Yeah.
And, like, going back to the 911 phone call, you know, it makes sense when we look at, okay, it was Burke. Because if we remember correctly, she says, you know, help me, you know, hurry up, and thinks she hangs up the phone, but she doesn't. And if you listen to the 911 phone call, the operator's like, Patsy, Patsy,
mm-hmm.
Patsy, and then it's, like, quiet for a second. And if you listen really, really carefully, I would honestly recommend listening with headphones in.
Yeah.
You can hear John Ramsey, a man, so I'm assuming it's John Ramsey if it's in the Ramsey home, saying, we are not speaking to you.
Right.
First of all, if the phone, they think the phone is hung up, they're obviously not talking to the operator.
No.
And I don't think he'd be talking to Patsy, because who would be the other part of we? So I'm thinking he's talking to Burke. We are not speaking to you. Like, we're angry at you, we're not speaking to you. Look at what you've done.
Right.
We can't talk to you.
And
then Patsy says, help me, Jesus, or maybe, what did you do?
Right.
Like, help me, Jesus, you know, one, her daughter's dead.
Right. Daughter's dead.
Help me, Jesus, you know, what's happening, but also her son could be getting in trouble, the whole family could be getting in trouble.
Right, and that's where I think the cover-up came.
And then she asks, what did you do? Because I hear both.
Right. I hear, what did you do? I don't hear, help me, Jesus.
What did you do? Like, you know, I think they helped... You know, put her downstairs and all of that, because mm-hmm. that little boy's not going to be able to carry her.
No.
Not that she was heavy, but he's not a super big child.
No, he's a 9-year-old kid.
And so he was just probably like, Mom, I hurt JonBenet, and I don't think she's live anymore, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't ask questions, cover it up, and then maybe it's like, what did you do, you know?
Now you ask.
Now please tell me. And then you hear a child's voice, who he wasn't supposed to be there, saying, well, what did you find?
That's so eerie, though. Like, well, what did you find?
Yeah. What do you think? Why do you think it's me? Almost.
Right.
It's just weird. And, like, the operator even said, I thought that whole phone call was so staged. And it's just... It's weird.
Right.
But I think that was... I am totally a supporter of the Burke theory. Either way. And it's... And even more the train set playing kind of thing.
Right.
Because, you know, JonBenet had all of these things. She had the trophies, she had the attention, she had friends, she had the success. And Burke didn't have a lot, but he had this awesome train set that he was super proud of.
Right.
And so she comes in and messes it up, just like he did to her, or she did to his life, basically.
Right.
And he's like, all right, that's it. You know?
Feel the wrath of my flashlight.
Feel my flashlight. So.
Yeah, no.
It's interesting. Very, very interesting. So you're going to make your final support for the Burke-Ramsey theory.
I think Burke.
You think Burke killed her?
Yes.
I think Burke killed her too. On accident.
Right.
I don't think he set out that night and was like, I want to kill my sister.
Especially Christmas night.
But then I think John and Patsy covered it up.
Right.
And, like, the other thing is, If there was nobody there that morning, when do you think that note was written? Because if she was like, what did you do?
Uh-huh.
Almost like, what if she wasn't dead then? Like she was dead, but what if she was not in the basement?
Right. I have no idea.
Like, she had woken up to this scene.
Right.
You know, maybe John Bonet was on the floor somewhere, and she's like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But the police responded very quickly.
Right. You don't get... You can't write a note like that in 7 minutes. Isn't it like 7 minutes that it took
her to get there? Yeah, but we don't... She says she woke up at a certain time, but we don't know if that's correct. Because I don't believe any of the things they tell me. But it's almost like he killed her, didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he woke her up. Maybe she woke up to JonBenet laying on the ground. So she was like, oh my God. And she wrote this letter.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe he was up already. And they were talking about it.
Right.
It's very weird. It's very eerie to think that this family, not purposefully, but like they could have done something to her.
Right.
Closing thoughts.
I think I just used all of my thoughts. I think it's a very interesting case and one that won't be solved in the near future.
It's just... Yeah, I don't think so either. So, I'm glad we talked about this. I'm very excited because we're going to have some fun comedic episodes coming up. And I know this is kind of end, but we're just kind of all out of energy here, guys. I hope you enjoyed this true crime episode. We will see you next week for a fun comedic TV episode. And with that being said, happy hauntings. Oh, it's my... You didn't do the countdown.
Bro, I literally pointed at you.
I'm smarter. We just wanted to let you know that the episode may contain some... Oh my God.